tonight's Bandai rerun controversy boils over in Parliament, where the minority erupting in hours of explosive protest, disrupting proceedings in the House, vowing to block a rerun after the seat was declared vacant.
The decision will not stay. As Speaker, we humbly call upon you to instruct the clerk. The clerk must be instructed forthwith to withdraw that letter and act according to law.
We have details as Speaker Alban Babin struggles to maintain order in the House.
Honourable members, please, I know we cannot resolve the problem without a conclave, but I must first know the problem before.
We unpack all the matters here on Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel Connect and Energy's Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil Enjoy Holy Sleep, and also by Short Pension Trust into the future. Tonight, the minority in Parliament has erupted in protest, refusing to take their seats in response to the declaration of the Pandai parliamentary seat vacant. Now, the move has sparked chaos in the chamber, with the Speaker struggling to maintain order. The protest has, brought parliamentary proceedings to a standstill, with tensions running high as the majority and the minority clash over this particular matter. Now, this follows the Clerk of Parliament's letter to the Electoral Commission directing it to conduct a rerun of the Pandai parliamentary election as ordered by the Tamale High Court. Now, the court, in its November 24 ruling, annulled the December 7, 2024 results after a petition challenging some anomalies in 41 polling stations. Now, the clerk on Monday formally notified the Electoral Commission that the seat is vacant pursuant to the ruling by the Tamale High Court. The move sparked huge protest from the minority, and even the party itself, the NPP, has today spoken on this particular matter. My colleague James Kosiavaji has been in the House monitoring proceedings and joins me on the line with more. James, how did this particular action start?
So, right after the vote and proceeding of the day, we speak, Honorable Bernard, for what. Right after that process, the Speaker called for the leader of the House, who is Honorable Mahama Yariga, to guide the House on what is before the House for today. Then at that point, the minority chief whip, Frank Anodompe, rose to his feet and prayed the Speaker that they go to item number 8 on the order paper, which and he prayed the Speaker to allow him time under Order 43 of the House, which allows for statement of urgency or statement on urgent matters to be made. That was when he registered the minority's strong opposition to this letter coming from Parliament to the EC declaring the Pandai seat vacant. He made the point that the Speaker himself, Alban Bagbin, in the last ruling on this matter, indicated that he was not going to declare the seat vacant because there is a pending, application in court, stay of execution in court. And so he questions at what point Parliament, reversed from this position and wrote that letter to the question whether this have been the position of Parliament if it was a majority MP involved. Let's listen to him.
The question that naturally arises is, why has the principle changed? What explains the abrupt departure from the binding reasoning you articulated on 24th November 2025? Why does the stay rule apply in one circumstance but not the other, particularly when the factual and procedural posture is virtually identical? Speaker, Ghanaians are asking, and we in this House must also ask, is this because Honorable Matthew Nyendam is a member of the New Patriotic Party? The Speaker, the law does not discriminate. The law does not bind or stiffen binding on whether an NPP or NDC member stands before it. If we abandon principle today, we leave the future parliament with a trail of inconsistency that invites retaliation, weakens authority of Speaker's chair, and erodes public trust. Just because we must do better, and this House must do better, and we must act better. The legitimacy of Parliament depends on our consistency, and we can't do otherwise. And consistency depends on our willingness to obey, not our political impulses, but the clear dictates of the law.
So this was the minority chief whip, Arnold Dompré, there making that point on the floor. But James, the minority then went ahead to make some specific demands. What are they? James, if you can hear me, kindly unmute so we can hear what you're telling us.
But Bruce, I'm indicating that the position of the minority at this point is simple. The House must revert that directive to the Electoral Commission. That letter must be withdrawn with immediate effect, failure of which they will not allow any business of the floor to proceed.
Speaker, we strongly submit that the letter that was ferried to the Electoral Commission was out of place, was unfortunate, and flies in the face of law and procedural justice. We submit strongly to this House that that letter must be withdrawn by Parliament forthwith, and we must act and stay consistent with the pronouncements of the Chair, for that matter, the Speaker, on this same matter. We in the minority do not agree to the writing of this letter. We make a strong position that that letter must be withdrawn forthwith. And as a cradle of democracy, we must be seen to be setting a very good example for the populace of this country to follow suit. Speaker, I submit to you that that letter must be recalled. That letter declaring the Kwanda seat vacant must be recalled immediately. It must be recalled immediately. It cannot be. It cannot be. The situation cannot. And we on this House, on this side of the House, cannot support that decision. Ghana is a fledgling democracy, and the least we can do is to support procedure, is to support the provisions of our law, and to stay away from decisions that flies in the face of logic and procedural justice. We are totally against it. In this House, we have worked in collaboration and in cooperation with our colleagues in the majority. Even where you don't have your numbers, we have allowed you to lay papers and do all manner of things. This decision will not stay. This decision will not stay. And because we humbly call upon you to instruct the clerk. The clerk must be instructed forthwith to withdraw that letter and act according to law. I so submit.
Well, James, I mean, we know that this had generally been a smooth proceedings. At what point did it degenerate into that prolonged protest that we saw?
Right. So right after the minority chief whip made those pronouncements, the entire membership behind him, who were clad in black, all wearing black nose mask, in anticipation of this protest, rose to their feet, chanting patriotic songs. At a point, they were chanting that Jethro must go, referring to the clerk of parliament calling for his resignation. They also, at a point in the chant, indicated that they will not support any third term of the President John Mahama. It's unclear at what point that came into the discussion, but indeed some of the papers, the placards they were hailing on the floor of Parliament had the inscription, quote, "We can see through your third term agenda, dark days for Ghana's democracy," the diplomatic institutions asking whether they can't speak on this issue. And at a point, some of this inscription even accused the president of having some influence on the judiciary, manifesting into the declaration of the High Court. This happened for close to 11 minutes until the first deputy speaker, Bernard Ahiafo, had to gavel and announce that they are taking a short break or a suspension of the house for the next 5 minutes.
Well, James, so all this while, the first deputy speaker, Bernard Ahiafo, was chairing the meeting. Then we understand in the middle of a protest, Speaker Alban Bagbin walked in, and we know that he managed to calm the minority. Is that right?
You are right, Brace, and this was after about 3 good hours of the minority leaders, the first deputy speaker's attempt to persuade the opposition to back down on the protest, which went he just couldn't get their audience. He sat in the chair for close to 15 minutes watching the minority continue to do what they were doing. Then we saw Speaker Alban Bagbin from nowhere walk to the floor of the house and make that substitution into the chair, taking over from Bernard Ahiafo. When he walked in, the first thing he did was to acknowledge the guests in Parliament, students who have come, who were also experiencing the spectacle that has been unfolding since afternoon. He acknowledged them, admonished them, and apologized to them on what has transpired. Then he gave the order that, per the orders of the House, he's enjoined to get an official briefing from the leader of the House, which is the majority leader, before he makes any pronouncement on this. This only drew more agitation and more protest from the minority. And for about 1 hour or so, the speaker has been in and out trying to call for order. At a point, he had to employ the most extreme orders of the House, order 1263, which enjoins him to rise to his feet in the midst of chaos and disorderliness. And when the speaker rises to his feet at that point, it becomes a signal to all members to resume their seat with immediate effect, despite what their case is. He tried that at the first time. He caught their attention. They sat down. And within this, he attempted again, and the protest continued. And when he attempted to enforce this order 1263 the second time, it took the speaker almost 5 minutes to catch the attention of his own members, who now then resumed their seat. And at this point, the majority were also agitated, and they were also on their feet before the speaker. They had to take their seat when the speaker rose on his feet. And so that was a difficulty with the two separate speakers in calling the House to order as far as the minority protest is concerned.
Of the current situation in the House, before I proceed, yes, Majority Leader and Leader of the House.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Honorable members, Cotillion.
Now, James, it appears this has been the strategy of the minority all along. It appears that they plan to do more than chanting and slamming the desk in Parliament.
Exactly, Bruce. I spoke to a number of the minority members, and what they indicate to me is that this is the strategy for the day. Nothing will compel them to walk out of the House. Sometimes, you know, in parliamentary politics, if your voice is not heard, it doesn't matter which side of the House you come from. What they do is to stage a walkout. Honorable Asafo-Ajeh from the minority indicated to me that they will not stage any walkout from the today. They would continue to protest. Not even their leaders, their own leaders' persuasion will convince them to heed the call to calm down. As we speak, they have gone back to conclave with the speaker, and we expect them to come back with cool heads and for business of the day to proceed. But as far as they, the members, are concerned, they will not back down on this protest until they get the announcement that Parliament has written another letter to the EC to withdraw that directive calling for the rerun to be held.
We know that the parties requested for this matter to be heard before the Supreme Court on the 16th of December. So we are expecting that at least that will be heard and a ruling given. So why this indecent haste? Where are we rushing to? Okay? I am completely appalled that we are doing this ourselves. We are destroying our democracy. It looks like we don't want this democracy that, you know, we have adopted for ourselves. We want some form of dictatorship. And that shouldn't be encouraged at all.
I'm interested in knowing, as counsel to the minority, what legal options are you giving your side of the House to explore to stay the hand of Parliament and the EC as far as this directive is concerned?
Well, the EC hasn't said anything yet. We know that a form of communication has been sent to the EC. We are waiting for the EC. If the EC makes any decision, we will advise ourselves in terms of organizing an election. Obviously, we have to advise ourselves.
May go to court to lay injunction.
Yes, it's an option that will be pursued aggressively to stay the hands of the EC until the substantive matter is finally determined.
This is your top story. Let me bring in Honorable Kojo Pong Krumah. He's MP for Fasia Yoruba, member of the minority. I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining here. Now, why not head to court but resort to the actions that you've engaged in Parliament?
Well, we're already in court. Good evening, and good evening to your listeners. We're already in court on, I think, two different levels. First of all, there is a judicial review application at the Supreme Court, which seeks to quash what the High Court in Tamale purported to do. The High Court in Tamale purported to give itself jurisdiction over a matter on which it didn't have jurisdiction because time had run out, and then purported to issue even an order which the applicant had not asked for. And that's why we've gone to the Supreme Court with a certiorari application to quash it. Parallel to that, I think there's even another effort to stay and appeal the substantive decision that the High Court in Tamale made. Now, earlier there was a request to the Speaker to declare the seat vacant, and the Speaker relied on well-established, well-founded constitutional precedent in the Republic of Ghana to make a ruling. And his ruling was that automatically, first of all, there's a 7-day stay. Second, if the person affected files a stay and or an appeal, that further extends it until such a matter, a time that the substantive matter is determined. And we've had precedents in this country. Because if you proceed to declare the seat vacant and the court rules in its favor, you have done damage that cannot be repaired. And so the position of the law has been that you let the person stay until the court finishes the matter. Over the weekend, we got indication that a lot of pressure was being brought to bear on Mr. Speaker to reverse his earlier ruling. we sought clarification from the office of the speaker, and the office of the speaker informed us that there was no such truth in it. Only for us to see this letter flying on social media, purporting to be a letter informing the Electoral Commission that the speaker has declared the seat vacant. And we are clear now in our minds that the rules of procedure are being used to perpetrate an injustice to us. And that is why it has been decided by the party and the caucus that cooperation will be withdrawn until such a time that we are assured that that letter flying around on social media purporting to declare the seat vacant is not indeed emanating from the speaker or from the clerk. Remember that prior to this, we have been cooperating on everything. Every little report that comes as we consider the documents going towards
but if you fail to
everything
cooperate,
has been supported.
Now that they have
elected to put a spanner in their own works, it is very unfortunate, but we are left with no choice than to withdraw cooperation. So that's what's happened in the chamber today. Cooperation has been withdrawn.
But won't it make it easy for them to have their way on everything they want to do?
I don't think so. We are here in the chamber, we've withdrawn cooperation, and we want the speaker to give us that assurance that he's sticking to his earlier ruling and that he has not succumbed to any behind-the-scenes pressure as part of the efforts going on to give this government an overwhelming majority for the purposes of constitutional amendment. There's an agenda going on. At every step of the way, we tell Ghanaians there's an agenda. Many people say they don't believe it, and it is unfolding. And we are saying that, unfortunately, we've been left with no choice than to withdraw cooperation until Mr. Speaker gives us that assurance that that letter is not emanating from him.
So is it our understanding that you'll be in the House, but you make it difficult for the majority to have their way?
Well, we have withdrawn cooperation. You recall that we're cooperating. There are various ways of cooperating. Unfortunately, we've had to withdraw cooperation because we are left with no choice than to withdraw cooperation until such a time that Mr. Speaker makes that declaration.
Okay.
He's made the ruling already. No pressure should be brought on Mr. Speaker to renege on his ruling. No pressure should be brought on the courts to cause them to do this injustice to the thousands of people in Bandai who voted for the Honorable Matthew Nyindam to be their representative in Parliament.
Okay.
No amount of pressure should be brought on them. And the least that we can do as 87 other reps or 86 other reps in the House is to stand up for the people who stood in queue that day to vote in Bandai, whose vote is today being taken away because of the political maneuvers being brought to bear on Mr. Speaker and on the courts. The least we can do is to stand for them, and that's why we're having to do this.
Do stay with me. Let me bring in Enos Afuseni, former MP for Tamale Central. I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining. Now, isn't it right, or couldn't Parliament have waited for the court processes to be completed before it takes the step that it has taken?
Well, thank you for having me. I have listened to my colleague on the other side, and I think that the approach they have adopted appears to me to be extrajudicial, extra-legal, mostly founded in parliamentary practice.
Why is it extrajudicial, extra-legal?
The matter is a matter that resulted from a decision of the High Court Tamale, annulling the results of some polling stations in the Bandai constituency and ordering a rerun of the election. Now, when that order is given, statutorily, that order has 7 days within which if you read Article 1125 carefully, you have 7 days within which you can act on that order. Within that 7 days, if you file a motion for stay of execution, you either serve the notice on the clerk of parliament or you go to court to pray on the court to abridge time for you to move your motion for stay of execution because of the consequences of that could follow from such a ruling. Now, when you serve the motion on the clerk of parliament, the clerk of parliament would have to respect the court process and so would not activate Article 1125 of the Constitution. Now, in this case, I am not quite sure whether the clerk of parliament has been served with a motion, because the clerk of parliament risks disobeying or the proceedings of a court if it acted in contravention of the established rule that says that, look, if a process of court is served on you, you must restrain any further action until the matter is disposed of. Now, be it as it may, the clerk of parliament, acting on Article 1125, has written to the Electoral Commission, notifying the Electoral Commission of the presence of a vacancy in parliament. Time begins to run if the Electoral Commission receives the letter. So if you say you are withdrawing cooperation and you are doing nothing to arrest the letter, you might end up having the Electoral Commission conducting a by-election.
But they are already in court with an application of certiorari at the Supreme Court. They are also appealing.
The application for certiorari does not operate to stop the operation of that order. That's what you must understand. The appeal against the decision of the High Court does not operate as a stay of execution. It's trite law. So you need to take steps, concrete, perceptible steps, to ensure that you stay the judgment and its effects until the final determination of the matter.
Okay, Honorable Yusuf Hussaini, sorry, forgive me, but stay on. Let's take you to Parliament now. We understand the Speaker, Alban Bagbin, is on the floor speaking on this particular matter.
Majority leader. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the issues before this House have to do with a letter written by the clerk of the parliament to the Electoral Commission dated 4 December 2025. In the letter, the clerk, Ebenezer Ehuma Jetro, had written to the chairperson of the Electoral Commission, and it reads, occurrence of vacancy in the membership of parliament. And it said, in exercise of the powers conferred and the duty imposed on the clerk to parliament by Article 112, Clause 5, as amended, of the occurrence of a vacancy in the membership of parliament occasioned by the order of the High Court, Tamale, for a rerun of the Panda parliamentary elections given on the 24th day of November 2025. This notification is pursuant to the service of a court order on the clerk to parliament as the fourth respondent in the suit numbered NR/HC/E13/22 order on the clerk to parliament as the fourth respondent in the suit numbered NR/HC/E13/22/25. Accordingly, notice is hereby given. Mr. Speaker, on the strength of this communication from the clerk to the chairperson of the Electoral Commission, the minority today, this morning, made a statement pursuant to the provisions on statements on urgent public matters. Mr. Speaker, when the minority chief whip made a statement, he demanded that the clerk be made to withdraw the letter he has written to the Electoral Commission. Mr. Speaker, I was not in the chamber at the time that the statement was made by the minority chief whip. I came in and I saw that the majority chief whip was on his feet and the members of the minority were on their feet behaving the very way that they are behaving now. And so I then urged the minority to allow for comments to be made, but they persisted behaving the way that they are behaving right now. Mr. Speaker, they continued behaving this way until the